Can we comment?
Yeah.
Yeah,
Yes.
bonjour.
Okay. The other day, I was reading one book. It's called Dark Matter, so by Blake Crouch. It's a small book, like a few hours read. So the book, it's a sci-fi book. So it revolves around a concept called quantum mechanic superimposition, quantum superimposition. So the theory is there are multiverses, like at the same time, because of the choices we make, so there could, the infinite ways the current world could go. So on that concept, the book is written. So it is actually it's based on science concepts. So I just I thought for a moment, if it is real, then how much suffering the world is having. If there are that many universes, then the same being, if it exists that infinite times in these parallel worlds, then how much suffering a being could have. So then I felt, okay, then yeah, how great Maharaj the teachers are. So this thing has to be break here. Otherwise, no, I don't want to, there shouldn't be any dream. That I felt when I was reading.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about a total imagination because all these various different worlds and different timelines, there's no world, there's no time. You're formless. It's fun to play. I like watching a lot of science fiction stuff. I really enjoy actually a lot of the science fiction stuff. I just started watching Expanse, I think on Amazon, and I'm only in the second season. So if you've seen it, don't give it away because I enjoy watching it, so I want to see it. And I'm just starting to watch Farscape, which is a science fiction show from long time ago, and I'm into that and I'm enjoying that. But it's all imagination. And it's kind of entertainment while you're here in the body form. Like you said, you read the book, but to try and contemplate about how these different worlds would be and all that, there's no world. There's no time. There's no space. Nothing is there. You're formless. Formless is without attributes because we speak about formlessness so much that we kind of try to get a concept of what formlessness is. But formlessness is nothing. It's the absence of any attributes. And yet without it, nothing could be or appear to be. Because you're prior to every experience. You're having the experience of the world because you were there first. You're having the experience of I exist because you were there first. But not in any form.
I guess you could equate formlessness with presence, I would think.
Yes, we just have to be very careful when we say formlessness, presence. Even I know presence is used a lot, but we can't try to conceptualize presence. Because even, when we say just I without anything, but then the mind wants to sit there because see, the mind is there to grasp and to logically try to figure things out. That's why getting lost in the books is so easy, because we're reading the highest spiritual knowledge, but instead of having that recognition in the projection and just reading the reader, we're reading the words. And trying to then logically interpret them from the basis that this body-based existence is true. And yet the book we're reading absolutely unequivocally says it's not true.
Yeah, we treat words as if they have being.
Correct. And that's why we say prior to beingness, were there any words? prior to the illusion of having this body form, what did you know?
Nothing.
Thank you. Exactly.
And it's like, I think like Ramakant's always hammering, like, nothing is nothing. Like, and we just constantly, or I can't, you know, my brain wants to always make it into something. You know, interesting, someone says that about presence. I got caught, I think, for a few years in a similar term, awareness. That was like, it ended up being like a really big misleading concept for me, because I couldn't help but like, and it's mentioned across all different books, and then I'm in the maze of trying to make all the books fit, you know, like Ramakant talks about, kind of jokes about like, well, Nisargadatta said this, and like, you know, at the end of the day, it's like, you're not getting free doing that, like, you know, comparing teachers. But
exactly,
the awareness one was a sticking point for me.
Yep, because we naturally want to conceptualize and put it into the box of our understanding. That's why Maharaj says all the time, if something that is said agrees with you, you're like, oh yes, this is very good. And this, but if it doesn't agree with you, then you're like, I don't know. But there should be no you to agree or disagree. You should just be remaining with yourself, with self. And there should be no concepts. If there's truly no concepts, then there's no good, no bad, no right, no wrong, no up, no down, because there's nothing. And the easiest way, if you're, like you said, getting lost in the thoughts, prior to beingness, was this thing that I'm thinking about there in my experience? No, there was no experience, no experiencer. All experience came along with the body. Well, you're not body. So any experience that you've had with the body is not true. Any knowledge you've gained with the body is not true. Because prior to beingness, there was nothing.
Yeah, that makes sense in a way, because it's like all the thoughts are usually about some kind of survival. And if there's nothing trying to survive, then there's no need for any thoughts.
Well, and the mind came along with the body. So the mind can only produce thoughts about the body-based existence and the experiences that seem to be happening because of your identification with the body. Right. Without the body, think about what?
You know, it's that's just so immense when you think about how that whole process depends on the body. It's like, you know, if you were to take that away, you know, you'd just be in formless presence all the time, I guess. I mean, or you'd just be acting out of pure, I don't know, inspiration. Instead of thinking about, you know, the consequence of your actions or, you know, things like that.
Well, but without a body, how could an action be?
Well, because you're in, right now, you have a body that you have to deal with, you know, in the moment.
Within the body-based illusion. Okay. But we're just, like, prior to beingness, there was no action, no activity. You right. had to have a body to do those things. So you know you're not body. So any of the body actions are not you as a doer, because it couldn't be. Just like if you assign doership to the different dream characters in your dream.
Right. They're not doing anything.
They're not doing anything.
It looks like they are, but they're not.
Exactly. There's the appearance of activity. And you identifying with a dream body that's within the dream experience, experiencing activities. And now you could step back one step further and say, okay, as long as I'm in this body-based existence, then what I'm doing is in the moment. Whatever's appearing is disappearing is just in the moment. I'm using this body as an instrument to sort of participate in this sensory existence. But I'm not taking the touch. I'm not taking anything so seriously.
Yeah.
Because I'm not a body. And all the activities of the body are not mine. They're not true. So I'm not taking a sense of doership. And yet, again, something comes in the appearance, and that's why Maharaj says you play your role very well. Okay, this is John. Well, John has this job. I do my role very well. What's in front of me, I do to the best of my ability. But I don't sit there and try to take recognition or praise. I'm not craving those things. Because who would those praises or negative praises be about? They'd be about the body that I am not. That's why Maharaj talks about you go to a play, you're playing the king, and everyone says, oh, the king is so great, the king is so great. But you're the actor playing the king. Or they, at the end of the play, they behead the king and kill the king. Well, you're not being killed. Nothing's happening. You leave. You go home. You enjoy a cup of tea. And you go in there the next night and be the king. There's no effect on you. Because you absolutely know. It's a role I'm playing. I want to do a good job in my role. But do my job, do my duties to the best of my ability, take care of the family, and then just be naturally here, but without any kind of fear or worry or what's going to happen to me or my lifespan. My lifespan doesn't even make sense. It's the lifespan of the body. While I'm using this body, I'm going to experience an illusory existence. But I absolutely know it's illusion. And so I'm not caught up in this illusory existence, nor do I say, oh, please let me have one more moment of illusory existence. Because it's illusion.
But it can be fun.
Yeah, it can be fun. But I think Nisargadatta Maharaj says, you know, I'm not going to spend one pesa to increase my lifespan. Whereas other people will be like, oh, I would give all my money, all my kingdom, if I could just have one more hour of life. But why?
Huh. Is there any such thing as anyone who actually plays their role? Because, I mean, if there's no individual, who's going to play a role in the first place? It simply happens, doesn't it? I mean, like,
well, this is for, again, just not taking the words literally of,
yeah.
But just to have, because like you see everything around you. Maharaj, when he looked around, he see everything around you. But you know yourself in a real sense. All of this is appearing on my spontaneous presence. And here you are doing something in the moment to the best of your ability and finishing it because you have this body form as an instrument, this instrument to kind of see inside this dream.
At the first projection or as the projection projects, I presume that would be a spontaneous projection that can't really be explained. Although the you know, maybe my mind wants to be happy it has no explanation, but it does. Anyway, I don't know, just the other day I kind of noticed seemed like I saw a raw projection just coming out of nothing for no reason, or there was no cause, or couldn't be explained. it seemed like I was seeing the beginning of projection or something.
Well, again, projection, these are just the words. Can't get hung up in the words. Spontaneous projection is because there's scenes appearing and disappearing before you. Because you're not an object in space, there's no creation of time or this object to that object. There's nothing like this. So to say it's a spontaneous projection, it's you're speaking that the entire world is a projection. Everything that you see is the just the same as the waking dream. It is. Dream at night, you lay down, boom, dream world is projected. A lot of dream characters doing different things. Same in the waking, because there's only one consciousness or one presence or one existence that's sprouting. They're not two. The reason that we believe there's a waking and then a dream is because of identification with the body. Remove the body, and then what's the difference between waking and dreaming? Nothing.
Sir, you have been telling that I is the present, but you know, somehow, somewhere there is a strong belief. Not somehow, there is a strong belief. So it's very, you know, correct. So no need to approximate it. So there is a belief that I am somebody, or I am this body, or what are the concepts the mind is holding. So, how could we, you know, leap that, you know, how could it be seen that I am the presence of the self or that Atman?
Mantra, because then the illusory thoughts disappear trying to tell you that you're body and mind. Okay. Yeah, you dissolve these slowly, silently, and permanently. Maharaj talks about the ash that's covering the fire. Remove the ash, fire's there. So you say, how do I know I'm not a body? Mantra. Sit for meditation. Mantra. And remove these illusory thoughts slowly, silently, permanently. Just I, just I. And that's it, really. Because then, like Nisargadatta Maharaj says, all the secrets will open. You just... with that presence, that sense of existence, that just I, the entire world is eliminated. Nothing else is. So, if you're saying that the conviction hasn't happened, that I'm not body, then meditation, mantra. And as Maharaj says, meditation doesn't just mean sitting like this. No, meditation is remaining with your selfless self, concentrating on the concentrator and mantra. Every waking moment should be mantra, always just running in the background. Sometimes it's to the foreground and you're actually, quote, doing mantra. And then sometimes it just kind of slides into the background and you're listening to the mantra naturally running through the body. And you just remain with your selfless self. This sense of presence, you're saying, okay, how do I know this is I? Well, forget about this, how do I know? Remain with that. Just remain there. Because that's the world destroyer.
A Shiva.
I suppose you could, I mean, it's the, you remain there in just this deep all attention, consciousness on consciousness, concentrated on the concentrator, presence with presence. And there is no mind to say, am I this? There's nothing.
Yeah, it's like somehow we're just not, I'm not just speaking for myself, somehow nothing is not very enticing or something.
To the mind, but you're not body. So therefore the mind can be discarded because anything the mind has to say is false. Mind came along with the body that you are not. And the mind, this is how you get out of the trick of the mind, only can show you things about the body-based existence. You right. cannot think about how you were prior to being this.
That would be impossible because it would involve the mind.
And the mind came along with the body, which you were not. You're prior to thought. You're prior to all of this. And you know this by using this body instrument to dip into the nectar of immortality and remain with yourself with self. Just I. No mind to try and identify. There's nothing.
It's in a way, it's a habit. It's like we're so used to, well, you know, I guess I should just speak for myself, you know, used to relying on the mind and, you know, using the mind to fix things and things like that, that it's a habitual thing of going there, and you have to really be vigilant to catch yourself going in that direction.
You just have to have mantra. Yeah, Master gave you a mantra that's going to erase this mind slowly, silently, and permanently. So while I believe I'm in this body, a mantra 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Yeah.
And then, see, the cool thing is when you start seeing your body moving around and activities going, and you're with mantra, and there's no sense of doership, and there's no thinking about the fact that you're doing something, or that something needs to be done. That's it. Then, like you just said, we've been conditioned to use the mind. And Maharaj says the same thing. Because of long association with the body, you believe somehow that the mind is your helper. And that you're kind of going through life and this mind is saying this and this, and we're using the intellect and all of that, but this is not true. And mantra will erase this concept slowly, silently, and permanently. Just like the next condo meeting that you go to, I'm sure condo meetings get very kind of, yeah. So by your laughter, I can tell how condo meetings may be.
Yeah, to say the least.
And so you sit there, mantra running, and just sit and you observe the space and not the people there, and just be with mantra. And notice that when you're speaking, but there's no sense of a speaker, nor do you have a position. So no one can kind of offend you, nor can you really offend anyone else. It's a flow.
Yeah. You know, I used to have a job, you know, in a busy office. And this is way before I met, you know, Ramakant. But I remember being in this state of feeling like I was beneath it all. Like I was on the floor of the ocean and all that stuff was happening on the surface. And I could really see clearly when people were angry, when people were, you know, argumentative. And I just could observe. I was in this place of observing. And it was like, it felt really good because I felt like, you know, it was like, it's like I could see the dream happening, but I wasn't, I was from a vantage point. I wasn't actually in it, but I could see it really clearly. But I don't know why that happened, but I remember feeling, you know, this sense of calm, like, you know, somebody being at the bottom of the ocean and noticing all the turmoil at the surface. But it was really cool. And I didn't know anything about mantra, but somehow I got to this space where I was just in this, you know, just in this quiet and, you know, just observing all this, you know, and seeing it very clearly. It was like a lot of craziness. I could see people's, you know, motivations and all that stuff. And I was just like, oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, it's had the same effect as the mantra, but it wasn't on the basis of that. It was something else that was kicking in, some kind of, you know, I don't know, some kind of grace, I guess.
Yeah, glimpses of reality, which,
yeah,
you know, that's a, I remember one time before Maharaj, I was in my office and somehow I got the concept of the floor being like the ground of being, and me having popped up from this, but it's all the same being. And that each one of all of my office mates were also arising out of this floor, this ground of being, and being all the same. So all the talking and the speaking and all that was basically this ground, this floor of being that it was coming from.
Yeah. So
I've had an experience like this too prior to Maharaj.
Yeah, I guess it was a precursor.
And well, these are the, because you are that.
Yeah.
And well, you know leaks, you're it, that.
Like, you know, if you are that, it sort of leaks through every once in a while.
Exactly. You can't keep pretending not to be that all the time. You will always have experiences of your own self because you can't pretend not to be yourself all the time.
Well, that's, it's very tiring.
Here, you know, like this experience Kathleen told and the one you told. Here, you know, from my similar experience, the flaw here is, I believe, so there is this witness sense. So now the sense that, you know, in the awareness, everything is happening. But whatever we are witnessing, right, at the time, at least now I could recall that there is no sense that this is illusion, not happening. That means still duality is there. Duality in the sense is there is a sense that, okay, witness of things are happening, something. So there is no sense that whatever is happening, that is unreal. I am just that witness. That conviction hasn't hit yet. So that is the flaw, I believe.
That's because of the conviction that you're a body.
Yes.
Because so if you don't have the conviction of being a body, then all the experiences that we just talked about, you're formlessly aware of these experiences that are occurring within you. And you don't even have to say within you because there's no you there.
Other than I. So
you and these experiences are one and the same. Like all of this is on your spontaneous presence because you don't have the conviction of being a body anymore. Because now you have the conviction, oh, so that I am that. There's nothing. There's seeing without a seer, speaking without a speaker, listening without a listener, concentrating without a concentrator. There's nothing. There's no position that you're taking where you can say these things are happening and I'm witnessing them. No, these are occurrences. These are scenes appearing and disappearing. But you're not involved in the scene. Sort of channel surfing, same thing we talked about before. You sit, you channel surf, you watch a show for like 5 minutes. You're totally into it. And yet you can easily turn the channel and that one's gone. Now you're totally involved in this next scene. Then you turn the channel again. Oh, totally involved. And then that one's gone. And you're not like you know, going back five channels, oh, wait a minute, I like that one better than this one, or this one better than that one. No, you're totally involved, and then scene's gone. Clock says 7:15, we come to this meeting. 7:15, get on Zoom, click, click, here we are. Oh, after like 8:10 or whatever, 8:15, okay, good night, everyone. We're not here anymore. And it's just scenes appearing and disappearing.
Yeah, life is a Zoom meeting.
Yeah. And no continuation. Until again, when we're here next week, it'll pop up, beep, beep, oh, time for you to go on Zoom. Huh, here we are again. But in between, there was no like timeline or no like trying to stretch it out or trying to be. There's being without needing to be. There's not a, oh, this needs to continue for something or for some purpose, which is like, oh, I exist in this form. Everything I do is for this form because I enjoy existing. And prior to this form, I didn't know I existed. So now this form is precious because the knowingness is here. And that's why Maharaj talks about you pour the water and the ants scurry away. Why? Because the presence within the ants feels that if this water destroys this body, I am not. But I am not is a silly concept because there had to be something that was I am. The presence that knows itself in the form of an ant is presence without a form to know anything other, nothing above. So there's nothing.
I guess you get more comfortable with nothing as things go on, right?
Because there's no one to experience the nothing. There's no experience, no experiencer. Nothing is just a word that can be used to sort of describe this no experience, no experiencer.
Yeah. You get beyond the words. There's no way to describe that, I guess.
Correct. And you can eliminate all words because prior to beingness, when did you come across your first word? In the body form, in the illusory existence. So prior to that, no words. That's why mind can just totally be discarded because the mind can only give information about the illusory existence in the body. By meditation, remaining with your selfless self, you completely understand that you are there prior to this body form, prior to this, all of this. And yet there's no concept that can describe or put a box around what you are. You are that.
Yeah, it's like trying to understand infinity. You can't, you know, the mind just can't go there.
And that's why they say not to, because when you start counting one, immediately there's you counting the one and there's duality. So it's not to, There's Advaita, I think, is exactly not two. You are not. There's nothing. And that's why it's less than zero, I think, is what Ranjit Maharaj used to say, right, Andrew?
Beyond zero, he'd always say.
Exactly. Because as soon as there's a counter, there's duality. There's me counting something. So,
experience under the experiencer.
Exactly. And when you remain with yourself, the self, and just this subtle feeling. And only that feeling can be known through body form. Having use of a body while a body is available. That's why Maharaj says the body is a golden opportunity for you to know yourself. Without the body, you will never know yourself because there's nothing other than you to know. And the faculty of knowing has to come through the illusory existence with the creation of the knower and things to know.
Yeah, most people think the dream is all there is. You know, you get used to the dream and you think that's it.
Well, then you identify with the body and you say, what happens when I die? But this is also. And then, of course, because the mind loves to conceptualize, like we just said, to fit into a box. Okay, I like this religion because it says, as long as I'm a good guy, or even some religions who say, I can be a terrible guy, and as long as I say, I believe this certain way, woohoo, I get to go on to the afterlife in a special harp-playing cloud. But you're not body. So if you're not a body, and this is why I think I told you before, when I first came back from India, I was talking with this guy, and he said, well, how do you know that you're not going to burn in a fiery hell for having gone to India and doing all this spirituality in that way and not just going to a nice church and saying hymns and stuff? And it immediately came to me, like, what would go to hell?
Yeah.
Like, what? There's formlessness. There's nothing. So how could space go to hell? And where would hell be except for within that space? And if there's only space, then hell would also be an object within that space that could only be perceived through the concept that I'm another object perceiving hell. But there's no experience, no experiencer. There's space. If at all you want to compare yourself to sky or space. Maharaj uses the example of the bathroom, the toilet, and the ashram. The space in the ashram or the space in the toilet. Does the space in the ashram go to heaven, more holy, and the space in the toilet go to hell, not holy? Space is space. The walls come down, the space is everywhere. So to try and even say, okay, let's say, for instance, that we're going to worry about religion. We're going to worry about our karma. We're going to worry about any of these things. I have to have a body. And prior to this body-based existence, you're formless. You know this through mantra, using this body to dip into the nectar of immortality, remain with your selfless self. That feeling of just I, when you first rise in the morning before the concept of world starts appearing with a you in it, there's just this subtle feeling. So now that is all there is. So the religions came along with the body and the illusory world from other bodies that believed they were bodies and were worried that they would die. No, come on now. And most of the religions also, the guys who started them, they said, like, you're not a body. I and the Father are one.
Right.
You know, there's the Father doeth the works, you know. All these things are said, but then again, written down by people believing themselves to have bodies and understanding it from the body-based perspective. But take the body out. And how do you take the body out? Mantra, remain with your selfless self. When that conviction is there that I am not body, I was not body, I'm not going to remain body. Body knowledge, gone. Body relations, gone. Thoughts is a joke. Thought about what? This body-based illusion, but I'm not the body. So any thought about the body is not a thought that I need to worry about. And yet, while I'm in this body-based illusory existence, I do the best I can in the moment. And I have a scene and I channel surf. And I'm fully alive. There's no, it's not like a passive thing where you're just sitting there like, well, I don't really care what happens and everything's good and this. No, you're actively involved, but there's no thought process of the afterthought of, oh, I wish it would have done this. There's no expectations because there's no expector.
Yeah, it's kind of all playing out, and you know, you're just, if they're, the body's just, you know, moving with some sort of inspiration or something, and but it's not like a doer, it's just a I don't know, an actor of some sort. Following an unknown script.
Well, but and even that, when, because there, see, the mind is, and belief in being a body keeps you trapped in the body-based existence, because every thought that's about the body-based existence, you're buying as your thought.
Yeah.
When you've erased, using mantra, slowly, silently, permanently, all illusory concepts are gone. Oh, so that I am that. Then there's no feeling of anything here. Or here, like.
No.
You and the world are one. There, because there's now you in it. There's no you to cause a feeling of separation. Like we said, between dreaming and waking dream, there's no body that says the two are separate. Again, in dream, there's just scenes appearing and disappearing, and then there's a waking, and there's appearing and disappearing, and that will continue until this body is no longer available to experience the illusory existence, the waking dream or the sleeping dream, whatever you want to call it. But you're not concerned. You're not thinking about yourself at all, because there's no way you can think about your true self. And to think about your false self, like we said, it takes a lot of effort and a lot of work to pretend that you're a body in a world. And you will get glimpses of yourself being in the zone, or when you go out in nature or something. Yeah. You can't contain yourself in this little limited body for so long. You will leak out and kind of be like, oh.
Yeah, thank goodness for that.
Yes.
You get a clue, a giant clue.
And mostly because you're not thinking about yourself. And any thoughts that are about yourself, you know, are not about you, so they go by, and you don't have to choose those thoughts. They just come and go, and you're not interested because there's no you there. And it's not like you're trying to having to pretend to be not interested, because these thoughts are not about me. I know myself in a real sense, they just flow by.
Hmm.
And speaking of flowing by, it looks like it's time, yes?
Yeah, it looks like it.
Good,
good.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, John.
Thank you.
Thanks, John.
Thank you, John.
Bye.